Chapter 14. Candles, etc., come sometimes to 3 shillings a week. I keep very good fires, though the weather be warm. Ireland will never be happy till you get small coal. 27. Likewise. Nothing so easy, so convenient, so cheap, so pretty, for lighting a fire. My service to Mrs. Stoyland Walls. Has she a boy or a girl? A girl, and died in a week, and was poor Stella forced to stand for godmother? Let me know how I can stand, that you may have your money bedams. There's 4 months for my lodging, that must be thought on too. And so go dine with Manly, and lose your money, do, extravagant sluddikin, but don't fret. It will be just 3 weeks, when I have the next letter, that's tomorrow. Farewell, dearest beloved M.D., and love poor Presto, who has not had one happy day, since he left you, as hope saved. It is the last sally I will ever make, but I hope it will turn to some account. I have done more for these. 28, and I think they are more honest than the last. However, I will not be disappointed. I would make MD and me easy, and I never desired more. Farewell, etc., etc. Letter 14. London, January 16, 171, 011. O Faith, young women, I have sent my letter N. 113 without one crumb of an answer to any of MDs, there's for you now. And yet Presto bent angry, Faith, not a bit, only he will begin to be in pain next Irish post, except he sees MD's little handwriting in the glass frame at the bar of St. James Coffee House, where Presto would never go, but for that purpose. Presto is at home, God help him, every night from 6 till bedtime, and has as little enjoyment or pleasure in life at present as anybody in the world, although in full favor with all the ministry. As hope saved, nothing gives Presto any sort of dream of happiness, but a letter now, and then from his own dearest MD. I love the expectation of it, and when it does not come, I comfort myself that I have it, yet to be happy with. Yes, Faith, and when I write to MD, I am happy to. It is just as if methinks you were here, and I praying to you, and telling you where I have been. L, says you, Presto, come, where have you been today? Come, let's hear now. And so then I answer. Ord and I were visiting Mr. Lewis and Mr. Pryor, and Pryor has given me a fine plotus, and then Ford would have had me dine at his lodgings, and so I would not. And so I dined with him at an eating house, which I have not done 5 times since I came here. And so I came home, after visiting Sir Andrew Fountain's mother and sister, and Sir Andrew Fountain is mending, though slowly. 17. I was making, this morning, some general visits, and at 12 I called at the coffee house for a letter from M.D., so the man said he had given it to Patrick. Then I went to the Court of Requests and Treasury, to find Mr. Harley, and, after some time spent in mutual reproaches, I promised to dine with him. I stayed there till 7, then called at Stearns and Lee's, to talk about your box, and to have it sent by Smith. Stern says he has been making inquiries, and will set things right as soon as possible. I suppose it lies at Chester, at least I hope so, and only wants a lift over to you. Here has little Harrison been to complain that the printer I recommended to him for his tailor is a coxcomb, and yet to see how things will happen, for this very printer is my cousin, his name is Dryden Leach. 1. Did you never hear of Dryden Leach, he that prints the postman? He acted Orinoco. 2. He's in love with Miss Cross. 3. Well, so I came home to read my letter from Stella, but the dog Patrick was abroad. At last he came, and I got my letter. I found another hand had superscribed it. When I opened it, I found it written all in French, and subscribed Burnage. 4. Faith, I was ready to fling it at Patrick's head. Burnage tells me he had been to desire your recommendation to me, to make him a captain, and your cautious answer, that he had as much power with me as you, was a notable one. If you were here, I would present you to the ministry as a person of ability. paper that should let me know where to write to him. This is the second letter I have had without any direction. However, I beg I may not have a third, but that you will ask him, and send me how I shall direct to him. In the meantime, tell him that, if regiments are to be raised here, as he says, I will speak to George Granville, 5, Secretary at War, to make him a captain, and use what other interest I conveniently can. I think that is enough, and so tell him, and do not trouble me with his letters, when I expect them from M.D. Do you hear, young women? Write to Presto. 18. I was this morning with Mr. Secretary St. John, and we were to dine at Mr. Harley's alone, about some business of importance. But there were two or three gentlemen there. Mr. Secretary and I went together from his office to Mr. Harley's, and thought to have been very wise. But the deuce a bit, the company stayed, and more came, and Harley went away at 7, and the secretary and I stayed with the rest of the company till 11. I would then have had him come away, but he was in fort, and though he swore he would come away at that flask, there I left him. I wonder at the civility of these people. When he saw I would drink no more, he would always pass the bottle by me, and yet I could not keep the toad from drinking himself, nor he would not let me go neither, nor Masham, 6, who was with us. When I got home, I found a parcel directed to me, and opening it, I found a pamphlet written entirely against myself, not by name, but against something I writ. 7, it is pretty civil, and affects to be so, and I think I will take no notice of it. 'Tis against something written very lately, and indeed I know not what to say, nor do I care. And so you are a saucy rogue for losing your money today at Stoitz. 2, let that bungler beat you, 5, Stella, and you ashamed? Well, I forgive you this once, never do so again. No, no. Kiss and be friends, sirrah. Come, let me go sleep. I go earlier to bed than formerly, and have not been out so late these 2 months. But the secretary was in a drinking humor. So good night, my inlitlidirsisian Selentrox. 19. Then you read that long word in the last line. No, 8, faith, hand you. Well, when will this letter come from our M.D.? Tomorrow or next day without fail. Yes, faith, and so it is coming. This was an insipid snowy day, no walking day, and I dined gravely with Mrs. Van Homry, and came home, and am now got to bed a little after 10. I remember old Culpeper's maxim. Old you have a settled head, you must early go to bed. I tell you, and I tell it again, you must be in bed at 10. 2-0. And so I went today with my new wig, to visit Lady Worsley, 9, whom I had not seen before, although she was near a month in town. Then I walked in the park to find Mr. Ford, whom I had promised to meet, and coming down the mall, who should come towards me but Patrick, and gives me 5 letters out of his pocket. I read the superscription of the first, so, said I, of the second, so again, of the third, comma, sa, of the fourth, a gad, I'm in a rage, of the fifth and last, comma, a Mary, this is something, this is our M.D., so truly we opened it, I think immediately, and it began the most impudently in the world, thus, ear presto, we are even thus far. Ah, we are even, quoth Stephen, when he gave his wife 6 blows for 1. I received your 9th 4 days, after I had sent my 13th. But I'll reckon with you anon about that, young women. Why did not you recant at the end of your letter, when you got my 11th? Tell me that, hussy's base. Were we even then, were we, sirrah? But I won't answer your letter now, I'll keep it for another time. We had a great deal of snow today, and 'tis terrible cold. I dined with Ford, because it was his opera day and snowed, so I did not care to stir farther. I will send tomorrow to Smith. 21. Morning. It has snowed terribly all night, and is vengeance cold. I am not yet up, but cannot write long. My hands will freeze. Is there a good fire, Patrick? Yes, sir. Then I will rise. Come. Take away the candle. You must know I write on the dark side of my bedchamber, and am forced to have a candle till I rise, for the bed stands between me and the window, and I keep the curtains shut this cold weather. So pray let me rise. And Patrick, here, take away the candle. At night. We are now here in high frost and snow, the largest fire can hardly keep us warm. It is very ugly walking, a baker's boy broke his thigh yesterday. I walk slow, make short steps, and never tread on my heel. 'Tis a good proverb the Devonshire people have. Walk fast in snow, in frost walk slow, and still as you go, tread on your toe. When frost and snow are both together, sit by the fire, and spare shoe leather. I dined today with Dr. Cockburn, 10, but will not do so again in haste, he has generally such a parcel of Scots with him. 22. Morning. Starving, starving, ooth, 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 ooth. Don't you remember I used to come into your chamber, and turn Stella out of her chair, and rake up the fire in a cold morning, and cry ooth, 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 etc. Oh, Faith, I must rise, my hand is so cold I can write no more. So good morrow, sirs. At night. I went this morning to Lady Gifford's house, and saw your mother, and made her give me a pint bottle of palsy water, 11, which I brought home in my pocket, and sealed and tied up in a paper, and sent it to Mr. Smith, who goes tomorrow for Ireland, and sent a letter to him to desire his care of it, and that he would inquire at Chester about the box. He was not within. So the bottle and letter were left for him at his lodgings, with strict orders to give them to him, and I will send Patrick in a day or two, to know whether it was given, etc. Dr. Stratford, 12, and I dined today with Mr. Stratford, 13, in the city, by appointment, but I chose to walk there, for exercise in the frost. But the weather had given a little, as you women call it, so it was something slobbery. I did not get home till 9. And now I'm in bed, to break your head. 23. Morning. They tell me it freezes again, but it is not so cold as yesterday. So now I will answer a bit of your letter. At night. Oh, Faith, I was just going to answer some of our MD's letter this morning, when a printer came in about some business, and stayed an hour. So I rose, and then came in Ben Took, and then I shaved and scribbled, and it was such a terrible day, I could not stir out till 1, and then I called at Mrs. Barton's, and we went to Lady Worsley's, where we were to dine by appointment. The Earl of Berkeley, 14, is going to be married to Lady Louisa Lennox, the Duke of Richmond's daughter. I writ this night to Dean Stern, and bid him tell you all about the bottle of palsy water by Smith, and tomorrow morning I will say something to your letter. 24. Morning. Come now to your letter. As for your being even with me, I have spoken to that already. So now, my dearly beloved, let us proceed to the next. You are always grumbling that you hand letters fast enough. Surely we shall have your 10th. And yet, before you end your letter, you own you have my 11th. And why did not M.D. go into the country with the Bishop of Clare? Faith, such a journey would have done you good. Stella should have rode, and Dingley gone in the coach. The Bishop of Kilmore, 15, I know nothing of. He is old, and may die. He lives in some obscure corner, for I never heard of him. As for my old friends, if you mean the Whigs, I never see them, as you may find by my journals, except Lord Halifax, and him very seldom, Lord Somers never since the first visit, for he has been a false, deceitful rascal. 16. My new friends are very kind, and I have promises enough, but I do not count upon them, and besides my pretenses, are very young to them. However, we will see what may be done. And if nothing at all, I shall not be disappointed. Although perhaps poor M.D. may, and then I shall be sorrier for their sakes than my own. Talk of a Merry Christmas.
Why do you write it so then, young women? Sauce for the goose is sauce for the gander.
I have wished you all that 2 or 3 letters ago. Good lack. And your news, that Mr. St. John is going to Holland. He has no such thoughts. to quit the great station he is in, nor, if he had, could I be spared to go with him. So, faith, politic, Madam Stella, you come with your 2 eggs a penny, etc. Well, Madam Dingley, and so Mrs. Stoyne invites you, and so you stay at Donnybrook, and so you could not write. You are plaguy exact in your journals, from December 25 to January 4. Well, Smith and the palsy water I have handled already, and he does not lodge, or rather did not, for, poor man, now he is gone, at Mr. Jesse's, and all that stuff. But we found his lodging, and I went to Stella's mother on my own head, for I never remembered it was in the letter to desire another bottle. But I was so fretted, so tosticated, and so impatient, that Stella should have her water, I mean decently, do not be rogues, and so vexed with Stern's carelessness. Pray God, Stella's illness may not return. If they come seldom, they begin to be weary, I judge by myself, for when I seldom visit, I grow weary of my acquaintance. Leave a good deal of my 10th unanswered. Impudent slut, when did you ever answer my 10th, or 9th, or any other number, or who desires you to answer, provided you write? I defy the deed to answer my letters. Sometimes there may be one or two things I should be glad you would answer, but I forget them, and you never think of them. I shall never love answering letters again, if you talk of answering. Answering, quotha! Pretty answerers truly. As for the pamphlet you speak of, and call it scandalous, and that one Mr. Presto is said to write it, hear my answer. Fie, child, you must not mind what every idle body tells you. I believe you lie, and that the dogs were not crying it when you said so. Come, tell truth. I am sorry you go to St. Mary's 17, so soon. You will be as poor as rats. That place will drain you with a vengeance. Besides, I would have you think of being in the country in summer. Indeed, Stella, pippins produced plentifully. Parvisel could not send from Lyriker. There were about 60. I would be glad to know whether they were good for anything. Mrs. Wall's at Donnybrook with you. Why is not she brought to bed? Well, 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 Dingley, pray be satisfied. You talk as if you were angry about the bishop's not offering you conveniences for the journey, and so he should. What sort of Christmas? Why, I have had no Christmas at all, and has it really been Christmas of late? I never once thought of it. My service to Mrs. Stoyt, and Catherine, and let Catherine get the coffee ready against I come, and not have so much care on her countenance, for all will go well. Mr. Burnage, Mr. Burnage, Mr. Fidlinich, I have had 3 letters from him now successively. He sends no directions, and how the deed shall I write to him? I would have burnt his last, if I had not seen Stella's hand at the bottom. His request is all nonsense. How can I assist him in buying? And if he be ordered to go to Spain, go he must, or else sell, and I believe one can hardly sell in such a juncture. If he had stayed, and new regiments raised, I would have used my endeavor to have had him removed, although I have no credit that way, or very little. But, if the regiment goes, he ought to go too. He has had great indulgence, and opportunities of saving, and I have urged him to it 100 times. What can I do? Whenever it lies in my power to do him a good office, I will do it. Pray draw up this into a handsome speech, and represent it to him from me, and that I would write, if I knew where to direct to him, and so I have told you, and desired you would tell him, 50 times. Yes, Madam Stella, I think I can read your long concluding word, but you can't read mine, after bidding you good night. And yet methinks, I meant extremely in my writing. But when Stella's eyes are well, I hope to write as bad as ever. So now I have answered your letter, and mine is an answer, for I lay yours before me, and I look and write and look and write again. So good morrow, madams both, and I will go rise, for I take pills at night, and so I must rise early, I don't know why. 25. Morning. I did not tell you how I passed my time yesterday, nor bid you good night, and there was good reason. I went in the morning to Secretary St. John about some business. He had got a great wig with him, a creature of the Duke of Marlborough, who is a go-between to make peace between the Duke and the Ministry. So he came out of his closet, and, after a few words, desired I would dine with him at 3, but Mr. Lewis stayed till 6 before he came, and there we sat talking, and the time